Hello and welcome back to the Bunch of Nuts podcast. I'm Dan. I'm here with my pal Big Cass. And Big Cass, Northwestern got the snot kicked out of them on Friday night.
Yeah, I didn't watch that game until late Friday night. I got to tell you a story, folks, okay? My game Friday, before we get into the Northwestern talk, my game Friday night had to be called with 45 seconds left in the game due to a brawl in the field. A ref got hurt, punches were thrown, and at the end of the day, just found out about an hour ago, two of those players from Merriam Franklin got suspended for one game and one player from Walnut Ridge. It was a weird game to listen to. If you want to listen to it, go on our Twitter page, scroll to Friday, click on the link, and listen to the game. Scroll towards about the end, and you can hear the brawl that happened at my game at Merriam Franklin last week. So that was my Friday night. How was your Friday night?
It was pretty good. I mean, you watched one beating. I watched another. Ohio State just absolutely... Yeah, Ohio State just absolutely kicked the snot out of Northwestern. I mean, that wasn't even close. Chris Olave just continues to just impress. I mean, he encapsulates everything I think this program wants in a rising sophomore receiver. Just, you know, right off the bat catching a touchdown. And then Master Teague, man, he is probably better than your favorite team started running back. That's all I have to say about that, man. Just overall, like I was posting the halftime and final updates, nothing to hold our hat on by the Buckeyes. And how about our man Blake Hawbeil, Cass? I know you've been eating some crow lately since you've been saying some things about him, but he comes out and drills that, you know, monster field goal, his second longest field goal in Ohio State history. Fantastic job by Mr. Hawbeil. That's all I gotta say on that.
Yeah, he's still struggling in the kickoff game, though. He keeps kicking balls out of bounds. I mean, I just think his placement of the ball and place kicking has been god awful. But his field goal kicking is, I'm definitely eating a big slice of crow with those.
Yeah, I just can't believe how like he, because he's been so inconsistent, how he was just able to, you know, kind of put that kick together and just drill one from 50 plus. Just watching the game too, when we got the ball, I didn't think he was going to even, I stopped watching. I didn't believe he was going to make it. And I heard people started cheering out of nowhere, and it turns out second longest field goal in Ohio State history. I just got to say, hats off to Mr. Hawbeil, man. If you keep making kicks like those, this team's on a mission, and I don't think they have a flaw then.
Yeah, they just got to keep, his confidence is definitely growing, and that's what's awesome to hear. And there isn't much flaws in this team. I think there's still a little bit of, you know, it's hard to, like, pass pro, but I think it's our backs, running backs with pass pro. We're so used to having Ezekiel Elliott back here with awesome pass pro and Mike Weber with awesome pass pro. J.K. Dobbins and Master Teague are not on the level in pass pro as those two guys, but they're still really good in pass pro. Our tight ends, they're shaky. I mean, they got one good receiving tight end and one good blocking tight end. I think they're a little bit more consistent, but other than that, there is no flaws in the offense.
I mean, even Justin Fields, so slippery in the pocket. That man is so elusive. I mean, there's that one play. I want to highlight this one specific play. It was in the first quarter. I think we were only up by 7. He gets pressured on third down, breaks out of a would-be sack, steps up in the pocket and delivers an absolute strike to KJ Hill on the sideline for the first down. It was just an absolute incredible feat of athleticism and arm strength on this play. If you watch it, I mean, it looked like he was dead to rights, Justin Fields, for a sack. And he goes out and just throws an absolute dime. It was just an awesome, awesome throw, awesome catch. And just, I mean, this team is on a mission right now. And I am so excited for this weekend. There should be no reason why this team shouldn't take care of business again on Saturday. But it's going to be a tough opponent.
Yeah, going back to the throws and stuff, but how about the, you know, just the way he's thrown? I feel he's got the confidence of JT Barrett. He looks so confident when he's throwing, and he doesn't have to run. And the thing is he doesn't need to run. And I know Urban, I guarantee it, Urban Meyer, and I'm stealing this from Zach Smith, and I hate to do this, but I agree with Zach. Zach Smith and his podcast, he said that Urban Meyer is probably saying, and while they're off air, run, Justin. Do you know who our backup quarterback is? We can't have Justin Fields running all the time. But I think he's got a confidence as that JT Barrett has. But JT Barrett had more confidence in running. I just think he's a JT Barrett 2.0 just because he's confident in the passing game. And them sideline strike throws are just phenomenal.
He's a more accurate JT Barrett with a better – he's better arm talent than JT Barrett, no doubt. Leadership's going to be – we're going to have to see when, you know, when the cards are down and there's some real adversity. I don't know about leadership, Cass, but the difference I think between Fields and Barrett is Barrett would just run for the heck of it, just out of a reaction. Fields knows when to run. Fields knows how to read the field, and when he sees an opening, he's good enough to take it and make him pay big time. But he's not looking to run first. He's always looking to pass first, and when he sees a lane open up, he will make the defense pay. And that is honestly the deadliest version of a quarterback.
Yeah, most definitely. I mean, he's just phenomenal. And I have to say, you know, J.K. Dobbins. And I'll get more into him and when we start talking about Wisconsin. But what him and Master Teague are doing is phenomenal. Master Teague is fifth in the Big Ten in rushing.
It's unheard of.
Top five running backs in the Big Ten. That's insane.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like every week we keep talking about Master Teague. I think he's like the new Ben Victor, but just that run he had, just straight up the gut. And what about that block by DeJuan Jones, man? Big Thanos or whatever he was calling himself on Twitter. Just absolute awesome performance all around, especially by the young guys like Garrett Wilson, 3 catches, 28 yards. He's proven to be a big asset receiving. We already knew that, though. Even Chuganoff. He threw a touchdown pass. And what about Seven Banks? Just getting contributions from the backups, too. And I know you said, oh, you don't want us running because obviously we have Chug back there as the backup. But I'm feeling more confident in him every day, man. Chug for Heisman. Let's go.
Well, we'll see. Chug for Heisman. Maybe we'll make that our first T-shirt. You never know. So, anyways, Northwestern, we beat them 52-3, even though they're 9-inch grass. And Pat Fitzgerald, classy guy, probably one of the coaches that I respect more than anybody in the Big Ten, says this team is by far the best team he has seen in his coaching career, and it definitely is the best team in the country. And I couldn't agree more. I'm glad we jumped Clemson in the AP poll after this week. Now we head into week 9 already. Holy crap.
I don't like how the season's going this fast. I hate it, actually.
Yeah, me too. I mean, we still got a lot of tough tests, and it starts this week. Now we head into Wisconsin.
And, obviously, as we know, Wisconsin did not have a very good Saturday. I'm going to be the first one to admit this. I didn't watch a snap of the game, and I'll give you the reason why, and I'm going to hold my hand up there and explain to the listeners why. I get home Saturday, flip on the TV, great slate of games. I mean, Clemson, Louisville was looking pretty solid there. You know, it was a fight. It was a couple of turnovers early. That game looked intriguing to me.
By the way, that kid had to ride the equipment truck back with the equipment manager.
Yeah.
He got back on Sunday at noon, so he missed all morning workouts on Sunday.
Oh, wow. So he actually won.
Yeah.
Wow, good. Wow, he actually escaped. Well, good for him, but then there was the Florida-South Carolina game, man. That was a good game. That was a good game up until the fourth quarter. But this Wisconsin-Illinois game, and I've talked to a bunch of people about this. I feel like no one watched that game because no one realized it was close until it was over. Because they flipped on the highlights, and Illinois was down like 14-0 in the first quarter. And I'm like, all right, that one's easily over. It was like, oh, second highlight of like Jonathan Taylor running in a touchdown. I'm like, that one's easily over. Chalk that one up as a loss for Illinois. And it's like last week when they played Michigan, it seemed closer in the fourth quarter than this one did, even though Illinois ended up pulling up the upset. It's crazy, man. But hats off to Illinois. I'm not going to lie. I didn't watch a second of it, but just absolute shocker. I'm so shocked because I didn't watch a second of it.
I watched the fourth quarter.
How was the fourth quarter?
Illinois dominated. Illinois loaded nine guys up in a box, stopped Jonathan Taylor, made Jack Coon or whatever throw the ball, and he failed. He threw an interception, and they couldn't stop Illinois. They couldn't stop Illinois. I think the defense was gassed because their offense couldn't move the ball. So is that going to be what we're going to see Saturday? I don't know. Still a tough way to go. But all in all, Illinois wins, played jump around, which I thought was hilarious. And now we get an angry Wisconsin team coming into the shoe.
And you know what? I don't know if I hate the loss to Illinois more because the fact that it makes Wisconsin's ranking worse for this game, or the fact that it makes them more angry for this game. Because it's probably the worst case scenario for the Buckeyes right now, because it devalues the game while also motivating the team even more. So overall, this is just going to be an absolute battle on Saturday, any way you put it.
Yeah, but I look at it this way. Ohio State and what Ryan Day is doing is he gets this team at reps. He thinks every opponent is going to come in and knock these guys off and win an at. He thinks, in my opinion, what I see, every opponent coming in that plays the Buckeyes is obviously it's their Super Bowl. So I think Ryan Day is coaching every Saturday like it's the national championship game, in my opinion.
Yeah, man, I can see that. I'm also concerned about the fact that we had that Friday game. We had a bye week. We had a game on a Friday. Do you think this noon kickoff could potentially, you know, they could come out a little like flat almost, even though it's a huge game? I feel like they haven't had a noon game in like 3 weeks. It's just I feel like they've had, you know, an extra day of rest. I feel like that could be like the rest versus rust argument. You know, this team is almost too rested. You know, bye week plus, you know, a week against an easy Big Ten team on a Friday. They've had an extra day rest. Are they gonna come out, you know, super energetic, or are they gonna come out kind of flat at noon? I hope it's not the latter. I hope they come out ready to kick the snot out of them. And like you said, all signs point to Ryan Day should have this team motivated. But it could also be weird because football is a weird sport where this team could come out flat. But I mean, we'll see, man.
I don't think this team's gonna come out flat. I think there's one player that I think is going to be extra motivated, and that's because he's getting overshadowed by Chubba Hubba Hubbard and however you say his name, and the kid from Clemson and Jonathan Taylor. I think he's getting overshadowed, even though he's second in the country in rushing.
Well, he's fourth now. He's fourth now, but Cass, I have some stats right here. Chubba Hubbard's a great back. And he leads the country in rushing, but he has 194 rushing attempts. Jonathan Taylor is third behind A.J. Dillon. A.J. Dillon has 178. He has 968 yards. J.K. Dobbins only has 134 attempts. He has, looks like, 23 less than Jonathan Taylor, and he's only 10 yards behind him. So Dobbins is by far probably the most efficient out of at least Dillon and Taylor. Chubba Hubbard, I haven't crunched the numbers that good, but it's close.
How many yards a game is Jonathan Taylor averaging?
Hold on. It's not. I gotta pull this up. Just give me 1 second. It's honestly slightly. Rushing yards per game. Here we go. That's the stat that really separates the men from the boys. See, it still says 136.7 yards per game, and J.K. Dobbins is 135.3. But I mean, they're rushing. They're averaging. He's averaging way more than Dobbins per game rushes. He's averaging probably close to two more rushes a game, and the difference is like a yard and a half.
Yeah, Dobbins is averaging 7 yards a carry. He has got 134 attempts, and he's getting overshadowed. Nobody's talking about how he's the best back in the country. So I think that him and the offensive line, led by Jonah Jackson, who's having a fantastic year, is going to be ready for this game. And they're going to run. I think they're going to run big around against Wisconsin. Don't get me wrong. Wisconsin is a good defense. Is a great defense. But I'm going to tell you what: when the back, when nobody's giving anybody credit on Ohio State, this team shows out. And I think J.K. Dobbins is going to have a game, the game of his life against Wisconsin. And he's going to have a huge game. I don't know how, if he's going to, how much he's going to score or what, but I feel like he's the X factor in this game. Also, I think the tight ends will be huge. This offense is steamrolling over everybody. I feel confident, but I'm also worried at the same time what this team and how this team shows up. It's gonna be fantastic. They're averaging 158 points in the second quarter. They have 158 points in the second quarter this season.
That's ridiculous. Total aggregate. That's amazing. I think too, man. Dobbins. If we look back to that Big Ten championship game from 2 years ago, when Dobbins won, you know, the MVP, the offensive MVP for that game, I think he's gonna put up a performance like that, if not better, man. I think he, you know, he's a Wisconsin killer. That man, you know, just absolutely tore Wisconsin apart that season. I mean, what was it, like at least 150 yards against him in the Big Ten Championship? It was something ridiculous.
I'm looking at that right now.
174-yard performance, that's what it was. Most rushing yards by a freshman in the Big Ten Championship game just ever. Ridiculous, man. And you know what? They haven't played Wisconsin since. And I think Dobbins is in store for another monster performance.
I'm looking it up for sure right now. I'm sure you're right. I'm not trying to double check. I'm not trying to just going back to that.
And congrats to Dobbins too for what about moving up on the all-time leading rushing list for Ohio State.
He's balling, man. He's having a fantastic season. I love the most is the fact that he's got some speed. Like, it's showing some speed that we've never seen before.
He's showing an extra burst.
Yeah, you're right. 17 carries, 174 yards, no touchdowns in that game.
And he caught a touchdown pass this weekend against Northwestern. But how about that route he ran? He ran the old-fashioned running back in and out route that you see in Madden. I believe it's called the Texas route. Ryan Day went into the Madden archives to call this one up, man. But just that touchdown catch against Northwestern. Vintage Madden play by Ryan Day. Great route. If you watch him too, Dobbins completely burnt the defender. Ref might have gotten, you know, hit in the eye, a little picked right there. But just nonetheless, Dobbins is doing it on the ground and through the air. Might need to improve his blocking a little bit like we stated before. But overall, Dobbins is on a Heisman. He's on a Heisman rampage, man. He's going for the Heisman.
Right. And just to let you know, in 2016, yeah, we had Bosa and Draymond Jones and all them guys. This year's defensive line is better than 2016, in my opinion. Because Robert Landers is older and all these guys. By the way, we held Jonathan Taylor to 15 carries for 41 yards.
Well, to Northwestern, I feel like they beat up on, you know, inferior opponents, and they really know how to pad Jonathan Taylor's stats. But when their offense is so one-dimensional, I know Jack Cohn, you know, I've said nice things about him in the past. I'm beginning to, you know, kind of think it's more the same with the Wisconsin quarterbacks, where when you need them to throw, they kind of struggle. And I just think, you know, if we just stack the box against Wisconsin, especially with the corners we have, Okuda should be able to lock down Cephas. They have the other Taylor on the outside, but Wade should be able to lock him down. I just think looking at their offensive weapons, if we just, you know, stack the box against Taylor, there's no reason why we can't stop him.
Yeah, they don't have anybody that could go one-on-one with Jeff Okuda or Sean Wade or Damon Arnette. So they're going to load the box, play zone defense, play man on the outside, and said, "Come, you're going to have to beat us." And I guarantee it's going to be all dink and dunk, and Ohio State's going to adjust, and it's going to be a different game.
Absolutely, yeah. As we kind of start previewing the Wisconsin game here, I'm thinking the defense has a really big day. I know, there's no reason they shouldn't have a big day against this offense.
Yeah, this is a better defense, and we're playing them in the shoe than what we did 3 years ago. Granted, this different Wisconsin team, but there's a guy that's still on the team. His longest carry was 7 yards. He had 15 carries, 41 yards. Granted, Jonathan Taylor was a freshman there. He's a junior now. But this time he's coming into the shoe in front of 105 screaming Buckeye nuts.
At a noon kickoff. It's going to be absolute bananas this game.
And in my opinion, the quarterback, Alex Hornibrook, is better than Cone. I think the 2016 Wisconsin team is better than this year's team. I think that team had T.J. Watt and T.J. Edwards and Connolly and Van Ginkle. And don't get me wrong, this team is good.
Van Ginkle was good. He picked off J.T. Barrett for 6.
Yeah, but coming into the shoe,
it's going to be tough for them. It's going to be real tough. And also, man, looking at the receivers, like I said, A.J. Taylor's a solid receiver. Quintez Cephas is probably their best deep threat. Kendrick Pryor is also a solid guy, too. I mean, they have 3 good starting receivers, probably better than, you know, most years for Wisconsin. But unless they get the good – I mean, this secondary is so good. Unless they get a real good matchup, I see them having a hard time, you know, really, you know, exploiting the secondary, especially when we have Arnette, Arcuda, Wade, Fuller, Proctor, even Brendan White, Cameron Brown too, the fastest guy on the team. Like, we're loaded in the secondary. My biggest concern, Cass, I think, is going to be Jake Ferguson, their tight end, because if we try to get cute and put Tough Borland or, you know, Pete Warner playing the bullet or something on him, I feel like he's a guy who can kind of make us pay, because he's honestly probably one of the best tight ends in the nation. I'll go on a limb and say that.
I think Pete Warner is actually playing well against the pass. Tough Borland, not so much. I think the best trio of linebackers that we throw out there is Malik Harrison, Baron Browning, and Pete Warner. I think those three have been fantastic this season. And I think Jordan Fuller I think Sean Wade and his link can guard the tight end.
Well, yeah, I would love to see Wade on a tight end. I don't have a problem with Warner on the tight end per se. Let me rephrase to what I was saying. I have a problem with when we put Warner, try to have Warner guard like Quintez Cephas or someone like that. Because there's been instances where they've had Warner line up against a receiver. And that's obviously just not a fair matchup, no matter how athletic he is.
Yeah, I mean, that's part of the zone defense and stuff like that. But, I think Ohio State's going to be – I think they're going to be on attack defense. I look for a lot of blitzes, too. I think outside blitzes – I think Malik Harrison could have a big day on the outside blitz, and I think he's going to disrupt Jonathan Taylor. And the thing is if these linebackers and Baron Browning put a hit on Jonathan Taylor, he's done. I mean, I like Taylor. He's one of the best backs, and I'd like to have him on my team on Sundays. But I think if Ohio State plugs up the middle, he's not a guy that's going to bounce it outside. If you watch all his big runs, they're big, powerful up the middle runs, especially when he gets against Michigan. If Ohio State loads the box and puts a hit on him, he's pretty much done for the game.
Well, too, like, what bugs me about Taylor is, like, I feel like we've been down this road so many times. Wisconsin has a great running back in college. We all think, oh, he's so good. Look at Monty Ball. Look at Ron Dane. Look at all these guys. And when they come to the NFL, they're just another dude. So, I mean, I'm still not sold on Jonathan Taylor. I think he's more of a system guy. I know he's had 2,000-yard rushing seasons, but so has, you know, Monty Ball and Ron Dane. I know Melvin Gordon's kind of the exception to this, but Melvin Gordon also is way better at catching the ball. Jonathan Taylor is kind of, you know, kind of a plotter.
That's what I'm saying. He's not shifty. He's more of a downhill runner. Mm-hmm. He's like a Derrick Henry, and he's more, like I said, he's more a downhill runner. I think Ohio State can, you know, put a hit on him. Pete Warner can hit. We've seen that. He's got one of the hits for hit of the year on the Bunch of Nuts podcast, and along with Baron Browning. So I have them guys hit, and I mean hit hard, hit Jonathan Taylor hard, and the defensive line. You take over this game, Wisconsin's offense will barely score any points.
This quote came from defensive coordinator Greg Madison about Jonathan Taylor. He said, "You don't get 2,000 yards rushing in the conference that we play in without being an outstanding back."
Well, okay. It's true.
It is. Does that make Monty Ball, like, the world's greatest back? Does that make Ron Dane the world's greatest back? I mean, you know who didn't get 2,000 yards rushing was Zeke. Does that make him not a great back? I don't know.
I don't know either.
And okay, we need to touch on this too, because I've seen this going around Buckeye Twitter, this debate. Because we're all talking about Wisconsin and, I guess, you know, that Big Ten championship game from a few years back where JT Barrett started. There's a lot of people on Twitter who are just saying that Dwayne Haskins should have started that game, or even Joe Burrow. What are our thoughts on this, Cass? This is... ugh.
JT Barrett should have started.
Thank you. And he did start. And I'm sick of people talking about this. We're putting this to bed right now. Here's the way I look at it, man. JT Barrett probably knew he wasn't going to be a first-round pick. Yes, he just had knee surgery like 7 or 10 days before. But you know what? JT Barrett's a leader, all right? That man loves Ohio State football. He was willing to put his body on the line for Ohio State football to, you know, potentially one of his last games of his career. He wanted to win a Big Ten title. All right, because you know what? A couple years ago, before that, he wasn't in the Big Ten title game. A guy named Cardale Jones had to play for him as he sat out with an injury. I don't think JT Barrett was going to do that again. So even, you know, unless he had to get his leg amputated, I was pretty sure JT Barrett was going to be out there. Secondly, Cass, just secondly, I mean, this is just, it's just annoying me that, you know, some people are really just, you know, going at, you know, the coaching decisions here with this. Do you really think, you know, Joe Burrow or Dwayne Haskins was ready then?
No. They even both said and admitted that they weren't ready.
Exactly. I know Haskins had that great relief performance for Barrett against Michigan, but Michigan wasn't good that year. They were not good. Wisconsin was a top five team. They were gonna go to the playoff.
Yeah, they were number four in the country.
Yes. It just sickens me, that argument. And it's just like, come on, people. Let's have some loyalty. That's JT Barrett.
Yeah. The field general, JT Barrett.
JT Barrett.
Yes. And just like Tennessee Jeff when he tried to get Cardale Jones.
Absolutely. It's just that argument sickens me. It just bothers me so much. I don't know, man.
All right, keys to the game. Don't turn the ball over and contain Jonathan Taylor and make sure Jack Coon, or whatever how you say his name, beat you. Make him try to beat you in Ohio State. And then don't turn the ball over. J.K. Dobbins, open holes for Master Teague and J.K. Dobbins. And then on the defensive side, contain Jonathan Taylor and make the quarterback beat you.
My keys to the game is, number one, Blake Hallbeil, man, you had a great performance against Northwestern. I need you to keep it going this game because I have a feeling this game is going to be close, and we can't have missed field goals. We can't have these drives where we get inside the 30-yard line and we miss kicks. I need you to keep that momentum going, Mr. Hallbeil. You're doing great, pal, but let's keep it going, man. No missed field goals. Number two, I'm going to need the D-line to establish a line of scrimmage against this Wisconsin offensive line. Wisconsin is basically offensive lineman U. We know that. They have, you know, some new faces this year, but they're still good. We need Chase Young to be playing in the backfield early and often against them. We need him to start making some big plays again. I mean, he always makes big plays, but we need him to continue to make big plays. We need him to stop Mr. Taylor from, you know, breaking off some big runs. And those are my two keys to the game. Let's make our field goals when we get them, and let's, you know, control the line of scrimmage, especially on the defensive side.
My score prediction. 33-17.
Vegas has this, I think, as a – we're about a 14-point?
Yep.
Yeah, 14-point favorite. I'm going to say it's going to be 23-13.
Yeah, I have 30 – I'll change that. 34 – what did I say? 17? Yeah,
34-17.
30,
Ohio State?
Yes, Ohio State.
Okay, just making sure, my man. I have 23-13 Ohio State. I think it's a little closer than we think, but it's, you know, Buckeyes are in control nonetheless.
Outstanding. J.K. Dobbins has a big game.
I think Dobbins has a big game. I think Field struggles a little bit, though.
I don't think Field struggles. I think he just manages and gets the job done.
He struggles by Justin Fields standards, but by, like, quarterback standards, it's like a 200-yard, maybe one touchdown game.
Yes, exactly.
It's not a bad game. It's just not a Justin Fields, you know, six touchdowns in a quarter game.
You're right.
Moving on, I guess. There's another big game this weekend in the Big Ten.
Michigan will host Notre Dame.
Notre Dame is a 1-point underdog. I don't see it, man. I feel like you got to take Notre Dame all day if you're a betting man, especially with the rumors of Jim Harbaugh looking for a quote-unquote exit strategy from Michigan. Via footballscoop.com, and Cass, this is the website that, you know, kind of broke the Urban Meyer news last year. So this is a credible source. They're saying that Jim Harbaugh is looking to leave Michigan. There's rumors of his house on the market and all that stuff. What are our thoughts on this, man?
Don't leave, Jim. Please don't leave. I like whipping your ass.
Exactly my thoughts too. Like, no, please don't leave. Like, I think he's actually generally trying to get fired at this point.
Yeah, he probably is. And by the way, if he loses to Notre Dame, he'll beat Michigan State. I don't think they're going to lose to Michigan State. But then loses to Ohio State, he may get fired.
The problem is that he has just so much guaranteed money. Michigan really can't get rid of him. That's the problem. He's generally trying to get fired, I think, so he gets this bonus. I think that's where he's at right now. I think he's realizing, like, hey, man, this isn't working out. If I just start losing on purpose, I'll get paid regardless. And it's a genius strategy by him. It really is. But Michigan literally cannot afford to get rid of him. So they're just he's playing himself. He's just losing, and he's not going to get paid.
Yeah, exactly. And I think Notre Dame beats Michigan. I think they go up there and rock them.
I do too, man. And obviously, you know what? We think Georgia are a bunch of frauds. But I think Notre Dame, obviously, when they went down to Georgia and played that game, I think they're better than what most people think. I've been very high on Notre Dame this year. I think this is a big game for Notre Dame to go in there because Michigan's season's over. That loss of Penn State last weekend, their hopes are done. Their season's done. They just cancel it. But Notre Dame, if they win this game, they have life.
Yeah, they do. And they don't have much of a, they don't have much life.
Because, oh, like, no, they do, man. They do cast. I think they're, like, up to, what, number 6 or 7 in the AP poll?
Yeah, but I think there's going to be 4 undefeated teams at the end of the season, in my opinion.
Nah, I disagree. I feel like a lot of craziness is going to happen. I mean, looking at Notre Dame's schedule, they play Virginia Tech, Duke, Navy, Boston College, Stanford. They should win all those games.
They should, but they might go in 7 overtimes with Virginia Tech. You never know.
Yeah. I mean, feasibly, though, Cass, if they win this one against Michigan, because this is their biggest game left, they should win all those other games. They're looking at 11-1 if they win this.
I think they will. And here's the thing. I think when it comes down to it, say if Alabama loses to LSU and doesn't lose another game the rest of the season, Ohio State goes undefeated. Clemson's going to go undefeated. LSU goes undefeated. Ohio State goes undefeated. Clemson goes undefeated. And then you see Alabama lose one game, Oklahoma lose one game, but still wins the Big 12. Say if they lose to some, like, Baylor or something. Baylor's undefeated too, by the way. Which, that one. Say if they lose to Baylor in the regular season and then beat Baylor in the Big 12 championship. Let's put it that way.
In typical Big 12 fashion. I feel like that happens every year.
Yeah. Then you'll have Notre Dame. Here's all the one-loss teams, okay? You have undefeated Ohio State, undefeated LSU, undefeated Clemson. They would be the locks to get in the playoff. Then you would have a one-loss Alabama, a one-loss Notre Dame, a one-loss Oklahoma. If those three, and I hate to say this, Alabama gets in because of who they are.
I don't – if there's any program out there that could, you know, really make that argument, it's Notre Dame.
Yeah, but they would look, okay, Notre Dame lost to Georgia. Georgia's other only loss. Georgia had 2 losses. One was a bad loss to South Carolina, and the other loss was to LSU. And then LSU beat Alabama. They'd be like, okay, Alabama's in. And plus they would put Alabama and Nick Saban, and you all know that.
Yeah. Yes, you're right. I just feel like – though, on paper, Notre Dame did play the better schedule than Alabama.
Paper, it definitely did, but it wouldn't happen that way.
Yeah, on paper, I feel like Notre Dame would be more deserving, especially if Alabama doesn't even go to the conference title game without Tua and everything, because I don't know how long he's out for. If Tua's out for the season and they're playing their backup quarterback, then I think Notre Dame would have a legitimate argument, man, like a real legitimate argument, because Alabama without their starting quarterback with a backup, or Notre Dame with 11-1, they can't go to a conference title game versus Alabama, who didn't even make it to the conference title game. I'm going Notre Dame there.
Yeah, it's going to be quite the interesting feat to see.
I'm just praying the Buckeyes run the table, man, and we're sitting back on that Selection Sunday, just enjoying a nice number one or number two seed.
Whether if we're going to the Peach Bowl or the PlayStation PS Bowl.
If you had to pick a destination to go, where would you rather be? Arizona or Atlanta?
I'd rather go to Arizona.
See, I disagree. I'd rather go to Atlanta.
All right, here we go. Like we do every week. Before we preview Ohio State's men's basketball schedule, because that schedule's getting ready to shoot up. Every week, we go down the list of games outside of Ohio State games, and I tell Dan.
Let's do it. Quick picks.
Quick picks. Yeah, as long as the ESPN website loads. Here we go. Come on. While we're waiting on this, we are getting ready to design T-shirts. So hopefully we get these design T-shirts. I'm headed on a cruise next week, so Dan will be flying solo next week.
I will be flying solo next week. And Cass, I gotta ask you, how you plan on watching these games on the cruise?
Well, I'll have to watch Ohio State. Well, I don't go on my cruise until Sunday, so I ain't gonna miss much with the Bengals getting beat by the Rams 52-0. But
They're so bad. I'm so sorry, man.
Hey, your team is right there behind us, so.
Yeah, we have two wins. I can't complain.
I mean, we played Miami week one. I mean, week 16.
That's a win.
Anyways, I'm going to try to get the Wi-Fi package for the games this week for the plane and see if I can get watch the game while I'm flying, because my flight's at 1:20 and the game's at noon, so the bulk of the game will be obviously. So here we go. I have to load the app up on my phone because for some reason my computer froze. All right. Starting tomorrow night, undefeated SMU will take on 3-4 Houston at Houston.
Give me the Smoo.
All right. Undefeated Appalachian State will take on 1-6 South Alabama. I'm not even going to say that's Appalachian State right there. Anyways, I'm telling you that Appalachian State was undefeated and Michigan's not. That's just funny.
Yeah.
Number 9, Auburn, 6-1, will travel to LSU.
Give me Auburn, man.
LSU is a 11-point favorite.
Give me Auburn. I feel like this is a game where Auburn, I think Auburn is just better than people. I know that Florida loss is ugly. I know that LSU beat Florida, Florida beat Auburn. But sometimes college football makes no sense. And especially I feel like Auburn versus LSU makes no sense. And I'm going to take Auburn.
All right. Maryland travels to Minnesota.
Row the boat.
Here's a sneaky game that nobody's talking to, and I think Penn State should have lost last week to Michigan. Michigan outplayed them in three of the four quarters. Penn State travels to East Lansing to take on the Spartans.
That's a sneaky one, man. I think it was Michigan State was a 6-point underdog.
Yes.
I'm still going to go with Penn State, but it's going to be close.
Boston College travels to Clemson.
I mean, I love A.J. Dillon. I think he's a great back. But there's only so much he can do, man. I think Clemson will win at least by 3 scores still.
Washington State travels to Oregon on Pac-12 after dark.
Give me the Cougs.
You going to the Cougars and Oregon?
Yeah, I'm going with the Cougars, man. Give me the Cougars. Give me Mike Leach air raid all day.
All right. Those are the quick picks. This week. Not a strong week this week.
No, I mean, honestly, that Pac-12 after dark game, Washington State, Oregon, that's a good one, man. I'm actually thoroughly going to enjoy that.
I might be enjoying it in Orlando.
Orlando's a great place for college football. Say hi to the national champions down there for me.
Anyways. Basketball season's coming up. I'm so excited about basketball. How about you?
I am pumped, man. It's just like Ohio State basketball has a special place in my heart. I just feel, and you know, it doesn't feel real until about January when football season's winding down and you turn on CBS and you see the Buckeyes playing like a Wisconsin or a Michigan, and they're probably going to lose because they always hit their slump at that time. But I'm just so excited for this season. It's not going to be like that this season, man, because our team is loaded.
Yeah, I think P.J. Tucker is going to be pretty good. As we said 2 weeks ago, 2 or 3 weeks ago when they had media days. So let's run down their schedule. We're not going to do any predictions. There's just too many games, and you know, we're not going to do any predictions per game. But Wednesday, they have an expedition game against Cedarville.
What is Cedarville?
I don't know.
Is that a college?
It looks like, yeah, it's like a Division III college, Yellow Jackets.
Cedarville University. Hold on. I wish I did my research on Cedarville. It's a Baptist institution in Cedarville. Hold on, I'm going to their athletics. Are they D3? D2. They're D2. They play in the NAIA in the American Mideast Conference. Oh wait, no, prior to joining that. Prior to joining that. I'm
in the GMAC.
The GMAC, okay.
Whatever that is. Anyways, that's not the first official game. Next Wednesday, November 6th, they take on the Bearcats of Cincinnati at home. I think the Buckeyes go 2-0 against the Bearcats this year. But running down their schedule, Wednesday, November 6th, they play the Bearcats. November 10th, they play UMass Lowell.
UMass Lowell.
Whatever. Wednesday, November 13th, they take on Villanova. Monday, November 18th, Stetson in Columbus. All these games are in Columbus. Friday, November 22nd, that's the week. Okay, never mind. That's not Black Friday. I thought that was Black Friday. Anyways, they take on Purdue Fort Wayne. Monday, November 25th, they take on Kent State. Friday, November 29th, which is Black Friday, they take on Morgan State. That's a 9 o'clock tip-off. The day before the Michigan game.
I love how they always do that. They always sneak in a Ohio State basketball game right before the Michigan game. I'm gonna be fit. Is that one at St. John's? Because they did that last year. The one was at St. John's right before the Michigan game.
If it's at St. John's, I am going.
I'm a big fan of the shot guy, but if they do that right before the Michigan game, if they're making that a tradition, I am all for that. There's no way better to ring in the weekend with some Thanksgiving, obviously, than a good Ohio State basketball game at St. John's, and then kicking the snot out of that team up north.
Yep. And then Wednesday, December 4th, they take on North Carolina. Saturday, December 7th, they head into Big Ten Conference. They take on Penn State and Columbus. No time for that. I think it's TBA just because it might turn into an early noon game just because if we go to the Big Ten title game. Sunday, December 15th, Minnesota, 6:30 at Minnesota. By the way, the game against North Carolina is at Chapel Hill. Tuesday, December 17th, Southeast Missouri State, the Red Hawks, that's in Columbus. The CBS Sports Classic, Saturday, December 21st, Kentucky versus Las Vegas. Kentucky will be looking for revenge because the last time we played Kentucky, we beat them.
We did. And that we beat them with Mark Loving
and Jay Sean Tate and Kata Bates Diop. And what was the little short dude? Harris.
AJ Harris and Cam Williams?
Yes.
Great team. Just great, great team.
Sunday, December 29th. We talked off air about possibly making the trip to Cleveland. They take on West Virginia.
Yeah, that might be that we might require a bunch of nuts road trip. I mean, waking up early that day, we wake up like 7, 8 a.m., drive there, get there around 10, 11, go right to the game, back home by 4.
I feel like that's a game where we stay all night the night before. Maybe check to see if the Cavs are in town on the 20s. Eight.
Ooh, hang out with the local Clevelandians.
Yeah.
Embrace the culture.
Yeah. And then Friday, January 3rd, they're back in the Big Ten play. They take on Wisconsin. Tuesday, January 7th, they take on Maryland. Saturday, January 11th, they take on Indiana. Tuesday, January 14th, they take on Nebraska. Saturday, January 18th, they head to University Park. So, in that stretch, they go to College Park, Maryland. They go to Bloomington, home against Nebraska, back on the road against Penn State. Boy, that's a tough rep. I think that circle, that game right there, outside of the non-conference, circle Wisconsin, Maryland, Indiana, Nebraska, and Penn State. If we can come out of that with a decent record, that'll tell you how good of our team will be this year, in my opinion.
If we can come out of that 3-2, we're going to be very special. I'd be happy with 2-3 out of that. I feel like typical Ohio State fashion, knowing that the team, though, if this is teams of years past, they go about 2-3, maybe 1-4 during that.
Yeah, I think they're better than that.
I think they are, too. I think they can get it done. I think they can at least go 3-2. That's my realistic expectation.
Yeah. Thursday, January 23rd, they take on Minnesota in Columbus. Then they're back on the road to Evanston on Sunday to take on Northwestern. And it's Saturday, February 1st at noon. This is your CBS game right here. Indiana.
Oh.
And then
yeah,
Tuesday, February 4th, they take on that team up north, up there in Ann Arbor. And then they travel to Madison on the following Sunday, which will be CBS. They'll take on Wisconsin. And then they're home against Rutgers. And then a tough game, another CBS game, Saturday, February 15th, against Purdue. Thursday, February 20th, Iowa.
There's nothing I love more than Cass and just these Sunday games in February. I just, you know, go out, grab some usually like Wendy's is my tradition of choice for a snack. Get, you know, a nice burger, a crispy chicken sandwich, a Coke, and some fries, and just plop my butt on the couch and just watch Ohio State basketball for 2 hours. That's my Sunday tradition with this team.
Yeah. And that's against Maryland. That'll probably be a CBS game. Thursday, February 27th, they travel to Lincoln to take on Nebraska. Sunday, March 1st, this will be a CBS game. They have home against that team up north. Thursday, Illinois, 7 p.m. And then Sunday, March 8th, 4:30, that will be Michigan State up in East Lansing. That'll be a CBS game. So I'm looking at this. They play Michigan State once, Illinois once, Purdue once, and Northwestern once.
And Michigan twice with a new coach.
Michigan twice with Juwan Howard as head coach. So it should be a solid season for the Buckeyes. And can't wait to see what Chris Holtmann in his third year with P.J. Tucker, the Weston brothers, Kyle Young. And
Little, E.J. Little, G.J. Carton, Alonzo Gaffney. Diallo, the tall center dude.
Dwayne Washington and my guy Luther Muhammad.
Yeah, I just don't know how this team's gonna be without our Lord and Savior Joey Lane.
Yeah, we're on a new towel game. So, again, that's Ohio State men's basketball. We'll get more into that when I come back from my cruise, and we'll be talking about the Bearcats.
Honestly, I'm thinking next week, man, for the show, I might go to this game and just do a live reaction after it and just kind of talk about the what happened, I guess, against Wisconsin. It's going to be obviously not as a packed show, but I'm just going to recap the Cedarville game.
Yeah. So, jump on ideas. We'll throw this out to the listeners and our fans on Twitter and on Facebook. T-shirt ideas. We want to start selling T-shirts. Give us some T-shirt ideas. What we can sell. I've already got a few ideas in line. We got a blackout for the annual Ohio State men's Ohio State football blackout for next year if they have a blackout game, and the pink out. Mm-hmm. Make sure you're going to the shoe this Saturday. You wear pink to support breast cancer. Those are two ideas that we have so far for T-shirts, which we won't launch those until next season because we're already too late for that this year.
Yeah, we're procrastinators, man. Not gonna lie, drop the ball on that one. But we will obviously, you know, do that for next season. All the proceeds will go to breast cancer. I guess that does it for another episode of Bunch of Nuts. But like Big Cass said, make sure to wear some form of pink to the stadium this weekend to support breast cancer. Go Bucks and go Boobs.